friends, and welcome back into the pod. I wanted to make this pod, and I'm going to just do a trigger warning at the beginning because I think it's important for those listening. I have some friends that I know listen, and they're going through some things, and I just don't want to trigger them. I want to be respectful to anyone who's listening, whether I know you personally or not. This is a trigger warning about parental passing, potentially child sex abuse, etc. So, you know, I just want to give you that warning just so that you have your moment to not listen if that is what's best for you in this moment. My brother lives with us. We have a 3-level townhome. We're very, very fortunate. It's so large. And we used to say, when it was just my husband and I and the dogs, this is too big. We don't use the basement. It's finished. It's got beautiful brand new carpet that the previous owners put in that we've literally hardly ever walked on. And it's a full-size basement. It's got a walkout sliding glass door, a full-size window, a bathroom. And then my brother is with us, which worked out perfectly. And I firmly believe that was my dad up in heaven looking out and making sure that we had the space and the setup. Even though we didn't need it for a long time, we definitely were coming to need it. So, Daddy, thank you for that. Sometimes Ellie, my pup, wants to go downstairs and visit her uncle. And while, yes, the stairs are inside the house for all 3 levels of our home, she will not go down the inside stairs. So when she wants to visit her uncle, we have to go outside and around the back, which is really silly, but we've tried to train her. We don't know why she's afraid. She's never fallen downstairs. She's never had an incident, and she has had to go down the stairs, you know, in an emergency when we need to go to the basement, which thankfully for us is not often, knock on wood, in Kenahara, which is Yiddish. She, you know, we can drag her, but we don't want to do that. So we just go outside. And we did that today. She wanted to go see her uncle at home. And she's a very smart girl, so I'm not sure what's going on there. I'm sure a dog trainer could chime in and say, you need to do this, this, and this. But we're, you know, we're pretty free-flowing parents when it comes to our pups. But anyway, we went down there. My brother reminded me about a tax question I needed to ask my tax accountant. And he also told me that through his therapy, he's been going to 2 different kinds of therapy, that he wants to spread our mother's ashes. Now, this is going to sound really bad, so I want to prepare you that I am not a horrible person. There's a lot that you've heard on this podcast, and if you haven't, I'll just briefly say that my mother was a malignant narcissist. She allowed, and yes, she knew, her husband, not my dad, my stepdad, to sexually assault me from the time I was 5 to the time I was 14, practically every day. And that includes everything you can imagine. So I don't need to say it. Okay. I was sexually abused starting at age 5. My mother knew it. How do I know that? Because she walked in on it, did nothing, shut the door and walked out. Didn't try to help me. Didn't try to stop it. Nothing. So there's a lot of history there, to say the least. And we had a big blowout when I was 40 years old, when I tried to tell my mother, well, she knew, but when I tried to have a conversation with my mother and, you know, say, look, you're still married to him. I don't understand it. You know that he physically and mentally assaulted my brother, not sexually. He sexually, physically, and mentally assaulted me. You knew it, you saw it, and you did nothing. She called me a liar. I told her to get out of my house, and she was never allowed in my house again by my husband and myself. My husband witnessed what happened as far as this confrontation. And I tried to start it out kindly, and it just degenerated immediately because a malignant narcissist cannot ever hear that they even did one thing wrong. Not even the smallest thing No, they cannot hear it. They will have a screaming fit. She was calling me names. She was screaming at me, saying I wasn't her daughter, yada, yada. So that's when I was 40. So fast forward, I'm 54. My brother calls me in a panic. My mother, he's living with her now, which I warned him not to. But he is a good son. He wanted to take care of her. In her older age, he quit a tenured, union, wonderful job to go help her, which she did not appreciate for not even 1 second. She fell down the stairs. I said, you got to take her to the ER. I can't get her in the car. No, call an ambulance. That's what you do. I have no problem helping my brother ever. So, took her to the hospital, found out that she had end-stage cancer. She admitted that she ignored a lump 5 years prior. And of course now, because she ignored it, it was breast cancer. And now it's metastasized everywhere in the body. Not long to live. She continued to torture my brother. She was in a nursing home. She had insurance for that. Wanted to go home. Okay, you got to respect that. But yet, my brother was not equipped mentally to take care of her. Had a hard time working at that time, obviously. So many things. She passes. Hospice in Montana. If anyone is listening from Montana and has any involvement in the hospice process in Montana, you need some serious improvement, my sisters and brothers. No one stayed with my brother. Why didn't I go? Because I didn't want to end up in a mental hospital. Because that's my mother. She will literally ruin you and think it's funny, which is what she almost did to my brother. Thus his reason for being here and in two kinds of therapy. I separated from my mother when I was 40 years old. So when I was 54 and she died and was dying, I mean, at that point, it was like, I don't want her to suffer, but she's killing my brother. Just all the things. I spoke to her. All she said to me was, thanks for calling. You have the last opportunity to speak to your daughter. That's what you say. I was kind to her. I told her it was going to be okay. I told her that it was okay to go. I told her that I didn't want her to be in pain, that we loved her. And that's what I got. Thanks for calling. My brother did not get any better. He was there with her to the end. He was alone. I told him to call his pastor. I told him to call a friend. He did. But it was civilians that were with my brother, not professionals. In any case, fast forward to today. We went through so much. Getting my brother here almost 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Columbus Day weekend. My husband flew out there to get him and drive him back because he had Sadie, his pup. We've been through a lot. And today when I went downstairs, I'm sure you were like, when is this going to roll back to what you were talking about? It's podcast. It can be as long as I want. So if you're still listening, I'll say it like that. He said that he was ready to scatter my mother's ashes. I may have said that briefly in the beginning. If I did not, I apologize. He is ready to scatter her ashes. Now, the original plan was for him and I to go out to Santa Barbara, where my mother was born, where we were born, where my mother's family was for 100 years. To scatter her ashes. And I just asked my brother, you know, I want to scatter a few ashes at the kids' pool down by the beach because those were the only really happy memories that I have of my mom. And I mean, we're always at the beach. We lived in a beach town. That's what you do. But she used to take us to the kids' pool. And I remember that, the little fountain, and it's very cute. It's still there. But that was a few years ago, and I had told him, you know, if you want to go by yourself, if you want to meet our aunt out there, not my mother's sister, but my mother's brother's wife, my mother's brother has also subsequently passed. And, you know, I'll support you. You know, if you want me to go, I'll go. If you don't want me to go, I won't go. You know, whatever. Because, as I said, I released my mom when I was 40 years old. So to me, it's like, it's a moot point to me. And it's very sad. And I had some tears about it this morning. But that's the truth. I released my mom when I was 40 years old, when she told me that I was a liar and that I had the best childhood ever. So my brother told me, he said, I want to go. I found this beautiful, you know, field of flowers down in Framingham, Mass. And I think that she would like it there. So that's what I'd like to do. And I said, absolutely. You do whatever works for you. I have no problem with that. Thank you for telling me. My mom's ashes are in my garage. Why are they in my garage? She's not allowed in my house. I wanted to protect my brother from that energy. I wanted to protect my family from that energy. And my brother had to get rid of a chair that he brought from her house because he felt like she was haunting him. So I didn't want the ashes in my house. And you can absolutely be angry about that at me. You can absolutely think I'm terrible. But that's why I gave you some history. We always knew the ashes would be scattered somewhere, but we just couldn't have them in the house for mental health reasons. In any case, he's going to go. I went in before I left the house. I went downstairs and checked on him and said, are you okay doing this by yourself? And he said, absolutely. He said, you don't mind, right? I said, no, I don't mind at all. I want to make sure that you're okay doing this by yourself. And he said, yeah, I'm okay. So he's going to go do that today. And, you know, I am okay with it. So when I went out to my car, which is in my garage, my mom is on the shelf. It's not like my mom is thrown in a box or whatever. Her ashes, her remains are in a box on my shelf in my garage. And I just touched the box and I said, you know, Mommy, I hope that wherever you are, that you can finally be at peace. You weren't at peace any moment that I knew you in your life. That makes me sad for you. But I need you to release your son. I need you to leave us in peace. I need you to stop sending negative energy to us. You did not help us in life. Yes, you clothed us. You gave us a home. We had food. We went to the doctor. We went to school. We weren't locked in a room. But we were under the threat of death every single day from my stepfather. We were under attack every single day from him, whether it be physical, mental, and in my case, sexual assault. It's taken a lot of healing, a lot of therapy for me to get to the place where I can talk about it without falling apart. And I need you, Mommy, to leave us in peace. Finally, please. I am at peace. I've been at peace since I was 40, about 42. I made attempts to contact my mother after the confrontation. Mysteriously, my stepfather died a few months after the confrontation by suicide. Very mysterious. I don't really know what else to say about that. And I did send a letter to my mom, which is what every therapist will tell you. Whether you mail it or not, that's your call, but it's good to send a letter. So I thought, you know what? I bet my mom will respond to a letter. And maybe we can have a dialogue that's productive after she reads the letter. That would be a no. I gave it a couple weeks. I asked her if she got my letter. She said she did, and that she had let her friend read it, and her friend told her it would be too upsetting, so they burned it, and she never read it. So that pretty much shows you the narcissism that was going on with my mother, which is the only option is to not play the game. And that means to remove yourself. And that means no contact. And that means what it means and how we got to this place. I am happy that my brother has gotten to a place in his therapy where he is ready to scatter my mother's ashes at a place of his choosing and to move on. He says, I need to move on. I need to let go. And this is going to help me do that. And I said, then I 100% support that, which I do. My mother, as a sidebar, told my brother while she was dying that I would never help him, that I would not let him live with me, that he would be alone, that I would shun him. Nothing could be further from the truth, but when you have a kind and tender heart and someone tells you that and you're an overthinker, you're absolutely going to think that. And of course, thankfully for me, my husband was the one who said, as my mom was dying, my husband said, well, your brother has to come and live with us. He doesn't have any people there. He needs to come here. We have the downstairs. We've got plenty of space. You know, he needs to be here with us. And my husband is the one who came up with the, I'm going to go out on Columbus Day. My husband was teaching 3 classes in Boston, plus his full-time job. The only time he had was to leave on a Thursday, fly out there, rent the car, and drive back with my brother. We had to coordinate cleaning out the house, giving everything to Habitat, getting the dog ready because she was sick. She died only a couple years after they got here, but she got him here. And Sadie, you're amazing. Mommy loves you. And, you know, we have Bailey now. And it's like, my husband did all that. I wasn't the one that said, I want my brother to live with us. He was. Because he's like my dad, which my mother clearly hated. But here we are all together. We gave my brother a healing place to be, a safe place with us, and the day is here. And I couldn't be happier for my brother. And I do hope my mom is at peace wherever she is.